Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. Stocks are higher, on track for the first back-to-back gains in almost 2 weeks. Energy producers leading the advance. West Texas Intermediate crude up now by 2.1%, up $105 a barrel, $51.34 on West Texas Intermediate crude. Gold up $6.90 the ounce to $12.69, up 0.6%. The 10-year down 2/32, yield there 1.75%. S&P up 6 to 21.46, a gain there of 0.3%. Dow Industrials up 63, a gain of 0.4%. And NASDAQ up 7, a gain of 0.1%. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
The ETF report brought to you by CIT. From transportation to healthcare to manufacturing, CIT offers commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services for small and middle market businesses. Learn more at CIT.com. Put knowledge to work. And here's Catherine Cowdery.
BlackRock is benefiting from the popularity of its iShares ETFs. It reported stronger than anticipated third quarter profit, helped by $51 billion in net inflows into its exchange-traded products. BlackRock said it has $1.25 trillion in assets under management in its ETF platform. Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Eric Balchunas says ETF providers are jockeying for position.
iShares is now leading Vanguard in flows. They've taken in $69 billion of ETF assets this year. Vanguard's taken in $66 billion. Every year, it's a two-company race between these two firms. iShares has had the edge the last 2 years, but Vanguard is really, I think, forcing the issue. But in the end, if you have market share in the ETF world, that's a good thing for the future.
A good thing, says Balchunas, as more money shifts to passive investments from active funds. BlackRock was also helped in the third quarter as it reduced fees on 15 of its iShares ETFs, joining other industry giants in a race to the bottom on fees to compete for ETF flows. That's your Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Catherine Cowdery.
You're listening to Bloomberg Markets with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, last night, he hosted the latest Titans dinner right here in New York City, just across from Bloomberg headquarters, bringing together the likes of Lee Cooperman, Bill Miller, many other money managers responsible for billions of dollars in investments and investment ideas. Back with us, Steve Kroll. He's managing director at Monness, Crespi, Hart & Company in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. I know I always do this to you, but just remind everybody these dinners that you do pretty much every month.
Right. Thank you, Carol. Yes, about once a month we get together 20 of what I call titans. The firms represented there control about almost $7 trillion in assets. That's fixed income and
I equities. Said billions, and I should have said trillions.
$7 trillion. And we get together and we discuss macro as well as stock ideas. We talked a little bit about the macro. Most people are kind of neutral on the market. The market's slightly over, probably slightly ahead of itself. Interest rates have moved up and done the Fed's work from 150 to 175 already, so the increase in December should not come as any shock. Yet earnings in the banks have been good and the airlines have been good, but in the industrial equipment and some of the technology companies, not good. And that's kind of a harbinger of what's going on in the economy, that we've had a kind of a fall in earnings yeah. estimates. And that may play out for the rest of the year. We don't know. So the names, we had a much larger amount of names that were short or negative on.
Really?
This time. And we were up to, I think, seven names where before we've only had like one or two.
You did a lot of names in this dinner. I don't know how you get through all those.
Well, Corey, we move quickly. Some of the people like Cooperman and others are very fast. We started at 6 o'clock. We ended at 8 o'clock sharp.
And you don't debate it, right? Everybody just presents
their
ideas.
Well, we do some debating. But, Corey, as you know, a lot of these guys have done this for 40 years. So you're not sitting there and talking about, let's say, Delta Airlines explaining what they do and whatever it is. What yeah. you really are trying to do is just focus on what's the catalyst. It sells at 5x earnings. It has a 25% free cash flow yield. It looks like they're going to lower their capacity growth. So the numbers at 5x earnings could go up, and the stock should probably go up 20 or 30%, and it's down 20% in the year. That's the extent of the conversation.
So who had a good short? You can't say that to me and make me not want to know.
Well, let's use the word negative. So if you owned it, you would sell it. Campbell Pork and Beans, which is an excellent company, has done very well, but it sells at 25 times earnings and it has a 1% growth rate. A lot of the value guys said that this is not a value play. You go through one of the gentlemen talked about from Jana Partners talked about Home Depot. That it's expensive. It's a great company,
right?
But everyone owns it, and the growth rate is still good, but not as great as most people think. So that
the
wasn't
sales
a short. That was
year over year. There, yeah, okay.
That was just maybe reduce your position, and those things came up across the way. But there were still
a lot of companies with fundamental rot.
I probably wouldn't talk about that on the air. Maybe at another time.
Way too nice a guy.
What about IBM? Right, they came out with their earnings not so great.
They were not good at all. As a matter of fact, if you looked at the real numbers, this speaker Harvey Eisen likes it. He's a big fan of Warren Buffett. But the operating earnings, they were benefited by a lower tax rate and by some special gains. I think the quality was terrible. Mm. I think it's a stock that has to show me something before I would buy it or my clients would buy it. But, some people think it
does
have...
Well, they only had 18 quarters of declining revenues. Come on.
That is correct. But this is, one night after the dinner.
Quite a trend yet.
We at least caught the last 18. But anyway, I think the mood was that the market's kind of stuck here. And there are some winners and losers. But each day you're losing a name. Today you lost a good company, Genuine Parts, which had a bad number. And it's kind of a musical chairs type situation. The oils are holding everybody, holding the market up, and the banks are helping. But on the other side, you're losing it on the technology and the industrial equipment, particularly where I think last week you lost it on PPG, you lost it on Honeywell, and then Walmart's been its own slow story for a long time. So it's a case-by-case basis, more than I've seen in the last couple of years.
So you said kind of neutral on the market. Does anybody anticipate that things are going to get better, that there are any catalysts?
No. And that was the issue. You're seeing... Rates are going up slowly, as I've said for a long time, very slowly, but they are going up. And companies are starting to struggle now because they've been cutting costs in the past and buying back stock, but you're kind of running out of room on that equation. And your multiples tend to be pretty high. If you use GAAP or non-GAAP, they're between 17 and 22 times. So it's not a cheap market. And I think that was the theme. So people are actually finding individual names within an industry, one as a sale and one as a buy, depending upon the situation.
Finding the good and the bad.
Everyone voted that they thought that Hillary was going to win, even though they're not necessarily voting that way. But we had a raise of hand who thought Hillary was going to win. It was 100%, which I was surprised at. And I think that most people think that the economy is just going to muddle through slowly. We're going to have several years of 1.5 to 2% GDP growth.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about fiscal spending in the next couple of years. We don't have the capacity to do what they want to do. Everyone compares it to Ronald Reagan, where we had 1.7 trillion debt. Now we have 19 trillion debt. We have a 7 trillion budget deficit each year, and that's not counting Medicare and Medicaid of 50 trillion. So we don't have the capacity. So the only tool the Fed has is to do what they're doing, and it's becoming less and less effective. It's helping companies refinance their debt, but it's not helping consumers with their income, and the retirees, it's clearly not helping.
So among the stock picks, I'm really interested in Leon Cooperman's likes First Data.
Yes, he does.
What's up with that? That's a stock that's got a 37% decline in revenues this year.
It has. I knew one of the founders, Joe Palmieri, very intelligent guy. They've missed a couple quarters. Stock's down. Lee's just gotten involved in it more recently.
Stock's down 14% this year.
That's correct. All I can say is that... he thinks it's going to turn around. This is the last bad quarter. I don't know. I know the people that used to run it. It's not my favorite pick, but I'm not here to talk about my picks. I'm here to talk about Lee's.
Well, so what was your favorite pick that we came up with?
I just think the airlines, probably Delta or United, they have underperformed this year. They're down about 20%. I think they're going to benefit continuing from oil, even though it's up today. And I think when you sell at 5 times earnings and you have a free cash flow yield of over 20%, those to me are attractive. The banks, even though I am not a big, fan of rates going up that much, I think the banks came through this quarter in spectacular fashion.
Surprising, I think many.
Whether it's J.P. Morgan, which I get a pension from, or whether it's Citibank or Bank America.
Morgan Today.
It's Morgan Stanley Today. These numbers. They're quite good.
Bill Miller, Wells Fargo.
This is the warrants in Wells Fargo.
Oh, warrants.
Bill Miller is a shooter.
Okay.
And as you know, he's been on many times, and he can, here buy VRX.
There are warrants? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they have warrants. He is a shooter, and he's great. I mean, I love him dearly. But,
agreed.
He's one guy that will like VRX at 20 and at 30. He'll be selling it, and some stocks I'll never touch. But, history shows he's a much better investor than I ever dream of being.
Interesting.
Dan, do you even know? I don't even know the Wells Fargo warrants.
Well, it's basically a call option on Wells Fargo. And what he's saying is that they did not kill anybody. It was a terrible, terrible thing that they did. Actually, the person that found out the story was Barron's about a year ago that had said they had aggressive accounting, which should have tipped off people. But
It took a long time.
And I used to think it was the best bank, and clearly it's not. J.P. Morgan's by far the best bank.
And more stuff still coming out. Steve, right. We got to run.
Thank you.
Steve Kroll, Managing Director, Monis Crespi, Hart & Company, joining us in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Folks, we're just minutes away from the closing bell. We'll bring you that right here on Bloomberg Markets.